The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
I'm so glad you're with us on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to save more and spend less. And don't let anyone ever rip you off. Our web address, Clark.com. You got a question for me, Clark.com/ask. Or you can ask a question of a member of our team for free, 9 hours a day, not on the weekends, Monday through Friday. And this is a service of the Clark Howard Show since 1993, offering free off-the-air advice. Coming up in a half hour, people who were born in the 90s, there's a lot of things that you can do that people that are older are clueless about it. You are a digital native. But there's a funny thing about things that you need to clue into that maybe you're like, who needs that? Why would I ever have to know how to do this other thing? I've got some things that, well, be good for you when you get a job in an office to know how to do these particular things. And in 20 minutes, today's Clark Regis moment, I can't believe this, but do you know what rolling coal is? It's becoming a problem around the country. You're going to be stunned when I share today's Clark Regis moment with you. I want to talk right now about something that it seems everywhere I go, people are asking me questions about what are they supposed to do? What should they do? The stock market seems scary. In fact, every form of investing seems scary. The world seems scary. And I always say, well, you know, I'm not an investment advisor. I don't do any of those things. And they said, well, what do you think? And it's funny because this will come up on the show where someone will ask me questions and they'll think I'm a lawyer. They'll think I'm this or that or the other. And so when you hear advice from me, I'm giving you my guidance that maybe I wouldn't even be able to give if I were a licensed professional in a particular field. And I want to tell you generally with investing, it is true that we're in a time of great uncertainty. And yes, almost any place you could put your money right now is a tough spot. Putting money in a savings account or CD is going to earn you basically nothing. Not going to earn the rate of inflation even. So you're going to fall behind. So if you go into bonds where you're like a bank lending money to people, when interest rates rise, the value of your bond holdings get eaten up. In fact, there's a survey done each year by the investing industry, and the number one question that people answer wrong the most is what happens to the value of a bond you have or bond mutual fund when interest rates rise. People overwhelmingly think, oh, that means that my bond value is going to go up, but your bond value goes down because the person who buy your bond is going to want to be able to get today's interest rates, not what you're getting. So if you're getting, let's say, 2% on a bond fund and bonds, let's say a year from now are paying 4%, then your bond suddenly is worth a whole lot less so that it will effectively give that person buying it the 4%. So right now we're in a position where bonds don't pay a lot. And when interest rates go up, it's the double whammy, the value of the bonds will go down. So that is not a place to run for safety. Then you look at stocks. Stock values are at very, very high valuations versus the profits that companies are making. Because the value of a company's stock is directly related to how profitable it is. That's when they talk about something called PE, price earnings ratio, meaning how much are you paying for each dollar profit of the company And right now, people are paying too much by historical measurements for each dollar profit from a company. So look at what I've said. I've said, you know, going into savings or CDs, that's a loser's game. Going into bonds, you stand the chance you're going to lose money. You go into stocks, well, there's going to be a correction where values get back into normal ratios, what's known as reversion to mean. So what do? You just quit? No. Regardless of your age, you have to think about having money invested, because that's how you're going to make sure as best you can that you won't outlive your money, that your money will earn more than the rate of inflation. Because ultimately, wealth flows to owners. In the short term, owners can lose money. But over the longer haul, as people are creative and innovative, come up with new products, new services, buy up their competitors, whatever, profits flow to you as the owner. So in the short term, things could get ugly. But if you're not in it for the short term, you got to stay in the game. And by the way, I know a lot of people, when they retire, think that's when you're supposed to bag being an investor at all, that you only have your money in things that are safe. But that's false too, because when you retire, odds are you might live another 20, 25 years or more on average, and you got to worry about what inflation will do to your money. So life does not offer a lot of certainty. You have to be willing to take some amount of risk in the short term to have long-term benefit. Ken's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Ken.
Yes, Clark. I would like to talk to you about a Facebook-like website. A friend of mine introduced me to it. Supposedly, you can earn money by clicking and posting and listing and selling items on this website. You can, by posting pictures, other people see the pictures just like you do on Facebook, and then they look at it, and then they click on it, they like it, and you can do what's called closing the loop, if you will. And so far, I've got actually two pages, like you have a Facebook page. I've got two pages. One of them, I've earned about $335, and the other one around $285.
And do you have the $335 in cash and the $285 in cash, or do you have them as like credits to an account?
It's like, well, I guess it's credits to an account. The earnings have not matured. You cannot cash out until after 90 days.
All right, and this is why every time someone has tried a social media thing with payments to the people posting, have ended up fizzling out. Because what you don't know, participating in this, is are you ever going to get the money?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look on the web about the particular one that you are involved in, and actually there are several others like it, people are bashing every last one of them. And mm-hmm. It's on the issue of the IOUs never being redeemed.
I see.
So I would say that's the test for you, is Ken, if you hit, now, how far are you from your first 90-day cycle?
I started August 22nd.
Okay, so you've got a good bit to run before you can cash out at 90 days. If you actually get the money, you know, that money talks, right? So that would be the test, and not just the first time, but over time, until you start seeing real dollars in your hands, I would tell you to be skeptical that the promises will be kept by any social media network that says they're going to pay you to be a participant in their social media. Susie's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Susie.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, so congratulations. You're now a grandma.
I am.
You look so young to be a grandma.
A Roth IRA for babies. But anyway, her parents are looking to start some kind of a college fund for her. And they, of course, want it to be flexible and as tax-friendly as possible. And I remember when your daughter was born. I've been listening that long.
Wow.
So, anyway, so I wanted to know, what is your advice, and what do you think is the safest way to do this?
So, first of all, congratulations, because being a grandparent's like the perfect scenario. You have all the joy without all the responsibilities, so good for you. Second, if in your family's culture, like in my family's culture, my kids know from like the get-go they're going to college. It just is. And I don't know, is that your family culture as well? Your grandbaby will be going to college.
Yes.
So you can't beat the 529 account unless also in your family there's a culture of kids going to private school between kindergarten and 12th grade.
You said you could. I could not get that.
I'm saying in your family culture, your family history, do people tend to go to private school at some point between kindergarten and 12th, or are they public school?
We're public school folks.
Okay. The reason I ask that is when you are a private school family, there's something you want to do before saving for college that can be used for private school or college called a Coverdell Education Savings Account. But in your case, doing the 529 College Savings Plan is a great gift you can do for your grandbaby.
Okay.
And there's two ways to do it. You can own the account, naming your grandbaby as the beneficiary, or you can gift money to your son or your daughter.
Okay.
You can gift money to, is it your son or your daughter who had the baby?
My daughter.
All right. So you can gift money to your daughter up to $14,000 a year, and she can own the 529 account for benefit of her baby.
Okay.
So you can do it either way. With you owning it, with your grandbaby being the beneficiary, or your daughter owning it, with the grandbaby being the beneficiary.
Okay.
And you live in the state of Florida. Where's the baby?
Gainesville, Florida.
Okay, so Florida offers an unusual situation, because Florida has something known as a prepaid plan for going to state schools. Or you can do a traditional, what's known as 529 plan, where it's money saved for whatever school a child would attend anywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So are your kids, and ultimately your grandkid, will be brainwashed that the only school to go to is University of Florida, FSU, University of Central Florida, whatever?
And I don't know that for sure.
Okay. So that's something to talk with your daughter about. If they're thinking state school only, in the state of Florida only, look at the prepaid tuition plan. Otherwise, look at my 529 plan guide at clark.com and pick a plan there. And congratulations to you. I have a Clarkrageous moment for you today that you're going to think is a spoof, is a joke. When I first heard about it out of Colorado, I thought, this could not possibly be happening, but wait till you hear today's Clarkrageous moment.
Scams, ripoffs, outrages. It's a Clarkrageous moment.
So, what are called coal rollers are all the rage, particularly in some of the mountain states, where people specifically with like diesel pickup trucks will disconnect the environmental controls on the truck to spew out as much thick, nasty black smoke as they can. this is so in the area of the weird, I can't believe it. There's stories from New Mexico, from Colorado, of people thinking this is really a neat thing to do. And I saw an item in the New York Times about it where they said that people are doing coal rollers to, well, to pick on people who are walking, jogging, bicycling. And I don't get it. What's the envy that people are exercising and you're not? And you're spewing out all that nasty, thick, smelly, gross smoke, not to mention fouling the air. This is so beyond that it truly is Clarkrageous. If you have a kid, because it seems very heavily teenagers and 20-somethings think this is a cool thing to do, to disconnect the pollution control equipment on a vehicle, you got a kid, you got to make sure they don't think this is a cool, hip thing to do. Because if you end up with a ticket for it and have to reinstall the pollution control equipment, there ain't going to be anything funny at all about a youthful prank. You're going to be paying big, big, big money to reinstall that equipment that your vehicle is supposed to have. So if you catch any hint of this going on, talk to your teenager and say, ain't no way you're going to be coal rolling.
Looking for fast-paced tales of action, adventure, sci-fi, mystery, and crime? Look no further than Telling Stories, the weekly podcast that brings you a free full-length drama each week in 5 daily episodes. Tune in to hear the world's great stories performed by America's greatest storytellers. Look for Telling Stories, the podcast, right here on Podcast One and iTunes.
So glad you're with us on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off. On the web, we serve you at clark.com, C-L-A-R-K.com. You have a question, clark.com/ask. You can follow me at facebook.com/Clark Howard. And do you know we have a deal site, clarkdeals.com, with bargains for you up to the minute? We also have a Clark Deals newsletter that you can receive as well, all for free. I got a funny one. You know, people that are younger are what are known as digital natives. People coming into the workforce now, have been in the workforce just a few years. Technology's been part of their lives, their whole lives. And so if you are a 20-something, you use devices without even having to think about it. It's just what it is. If you've ever seen someone who has a 2 or 3 year old kid who they can just hand a 2 or 3 year old who can't read and write yet, just hand a kid a tablet, and a kid knows how to use that tablet just instinctively, just they can do it. Joel, is that true with your 3-year-old? Can you hand her your phone and she just knows what she's doing?
They figure out the swiping and the opening apps pretty quickly. And we try to keep the phones out of her. She doesn't play games on the phone or anything like that. And I want to keep it away from her as long as possible. But she'll grab it every once in a while. And they just kind of instinctively seem to know how to work it.
And you're in a mixed marriage with a wife who uses iPhone and you use Android.
It can be hard at times.
And your child can use either without any difficulty?
She can.
So it's just part of growing up with the devices. But there was an item NBC News did that there are things that go on in an office that the people that are the most clueless about are digital natives. Can't send a fax. Can't understand what in the world this antiquated thing is that makes an off-key sound when it connects. And why would anybody use one? But faxing still exists. And there are situations where you got a fax. Just the way it is. But here's the one I really got a chuckle out of. A lot of millennials can't figure out how to use a copy machine. What at one time we called Xerox machines. I'm going to go Xerox that. So it's funny, but just as someone who's older is clueless when they might pick up a gadget, someone who's younger in an office environment may look clueless. And the number one recommendation, don't fake it. Don't pretend you know how to do something that you don't, because that shoots your credibility, particularly if you're new to the business, new to the company. Just show a little humility and ask somebody. That's right, ask somebody. Just as somebody might ask you, how do I do this on my phone? Ask that person, how do I use this faxy thing? And by the way, you're right. Fax machines are stupid.
I will say multiple times I have had to ask for help from other folks around the office on how to work the fax machine.
And you are barely a millennial, right?
I'm like a grandpa millennial.
Yeah. Billy's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Billy.
Hello.
How are you?
Today looking for some advice.
Let's see if I can give some that would be useful.
Okay. We currently have a mortgage, well, about $46,000 on it, and we've got a money market account, and we've got about $49,000 in it. I want to know if it was the right decision to pay the house off with that. Still have a little bit of money for emergencies or anything.
So do you have any other debts in your life?
Nope. House is the only debt that we have.
You know, that sounds like a great idea to just blow out that money market account and kill off the mortgage. Because your mortgage is at what percent?
It's at 3% right now.
3 is a very low rate, but your money market is paying, if you're lucky, 1%.
Oh, yeah.
And what do you pay per month for the mortgage?
Right now, the mortgage is about $600 a month. And we've been paying $600 extra, too, to try to pay it off. But
so every month, you want to build up more cushion, you can keep putting money back into the money market. But I would say, even though your mortgage rate is so low, if you've got nothing else you're worrying about paying bills, that it would be a neat idea just to blow out the mortgage and live completely mortgage debt-free. But there's a second question for you before you get the full green light. What are you doing to save for retirement?
Right now, I've got a 401k with my company, and I'm putting 15% a month.
Pay off the mortgage.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, wow. And I hope that you inspire other people. Here you are on the edge of being completely debt-free, and you're doing a great job saving for your future and for retirement. So
all right.
Just write them that check. Now, when you pay off the mortgage, one of the gifts that your bank gives you is you're going to have to pay them $20 or $25 to give you the permission letter to send them the
$46,000. Okay.
And they call that the payoff letter. And they've got to get the money on the payoff letter will show you, if you pay off this loan on such and such a date, this is the amount you have to send us. And every day after that, you have to send us an extra $9 or $12 or whatever. And so you got to pay for that letter and then send in the money.
Okay.
So go for it.
All right.
And then have that big party for that mortgage burning. And congrats to you and to anyone else who owns your home free and clear. Art's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Art.
Good afternoon, Clark. Hope you're having a pleasant day.
I'm having a great day, thank you. Yours good?
Yep, so far anyway. I hope you don't ruin it. No chance of that. Here's my question, if you're ready.
I'm ready.
My lady, who lives in a nearby town, had a bankruptcy a couple of years ago, and she had credit card debt like you can't even believe. You know, she was paying minimums on the card every month and still charging on it, and it was building and building and building, and she would have never paid it off. So I jumped in and helped her bail her out of all that. And between the two of us, we got all the cards paid off down to zero, and she has torn up, eliminated, burned all the cards but one. And she does the Clark thing with that one card. She pays, you know, for a couple of tanks of gas per billing cycle and pays it off at the end of the month. So she's cleaned up her act real well. She's worried because her credit rating is so low. I told her, don't worry about it. You're never going to borrow any more money anyhow. But she still wants to build her credit rating. So I said, okay. Maybe, and I incidentally have an excellent credit rating. Last time I looked at it, it was over 800. So I'm interested in knowing, number one, if I make her an additional authorized user on my credit card, but not give her the plastic unless I am standing there with her, do they run a credit check on her?
No, they won't run a credit check on her. If all you're doing is authorized user status, she'll be okay, but it's not necessarily going to help her. So let me go back a step with you. Did you say, I thought you said up front that she had filed for bankruptcy.
She did a couple of years ago.
And do you know, was it a Chapter 7 or a Chapter 13? So I'll tell you the difference. A 7, your debts are just wiped clean. A 13 is a payment plan.
Yeah, no, this was a 7. They wiped her out.
All right, so I'm really confused. How did she end up with the credit card debt? Because it should have been wiped out in the bankruptcy.
Maybe she reaffirmed some of that, or maybe she charged it all after the bankruptcy. I think that's probably what happened, is she charged all that.
All right, so she kept one credit card. She's got it. She's using it right. The thing is, the only thing that's going to heal her situation is time. Mm-hmm. You helping rent your credit to her won't make a meaningful difference. I wouldn't even bother with that till like 3 or 4 years from now.
Okay. Well, it might be getting along that long since her bankruptcy.
Because a Chapter 7 stays on your credit 10 years. A Chapter 13 stays on your credit 7 years.
Okay. I'll have to tell her that, because I'm not absolutely sure.
Because as soon as that's over, as soon as that time period's over, her credit will be, like, squeaky clean.
Yeah.
And time is the one that heals that.
Okay. Well, maybe I just won't bother to put her on my card, though, but it might make her feel better.
I wouldn't do it now. I wouldn't do it for now.
Okay. You think it would adversely affect my...
No, I just don't think there's any upside, and there's always potential downside.
Gotcha.
So I would just leave that be. And you know, you obviously care about her deeply, and if the two of you at some point decide to get married, and then you want to do things like that, that would probably be the better time to do it.
Okay. Very good. Your advice is well taken.
And by the way, it was really, really generous of you to help her pay off some of those debts.
Well, I'm not sure if it gained me any points, but
it was still generous no matter how you cut it, Art. Cindy's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Clark. Thanks for taking my question.
I'm glad to have you here. You want to talk about something that is one of those oddball kind of insurance products. What are you thinking
of? I do. In a single wage earner family right now while my husband is a full-time student. My employment is, I'm a self-employed person, and I literally work job to job. That's how we live, and it's precarious and it's scary. And I had a salesman come in the other day who offered me cancer insurance. And I have to say that is one of my, just sickness in general is my biggest fear. If anyone in my family gets sick, and that's any kind of sickness, broken bone, anything where I have, where I can't work, I'm going to be in trouble.
Exactly. And that's precisely why I'm not a fan of a narrow kind of insurance policy like a cancer one or something like that. There are many that draw very narrow walls around what they cover, because what would be a financial disaster for you would be any of the circumstances that would keep you from being able to earn an income.
Correct.
So there's something that is a much better use of money than buying like a accidental policy or a cancer policy or any of those kind, because they're really cheap for what you get, right? But you got to hit the exact check marks in order to have it pay. What's better is something that's more expensive to buy, but provides so much better an umbrella for you, called disability insurance.
Okay.
And what a disability insurance policy does is, for whatever reason you can't work, it pays. For as long as you can't work in your chosen profession.
It's a gap insurance. It covers just general living expenses.
Right. And you buy the coverage. People usually buy either 60% or 70% of their normal income.
Okay.
And so disability insurance is, it's not cheap to buy disability insurance, but you have a 3 times greater chance of becoming disabled during your key working years than you ever do of passing away during your key working years. And that's why disability insurance should be bought, and it's a shame it seldom is. Steve is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Clark. I was calling, I wanted to know when the best time is to cash in Series E and Series I bonds. Is it the beginning of the month or the end of the month? And is it...
Actually, it's usually based on a six-month window.
For it to compound or not.
Okay, so a couple of things. Usually, it's based on a six-month cycle.
Correct.
When the best time is to cash in. With a Series I savings bond in particular, where the interest is recalculated twice a year. But how old are your series? Are they Series E's or EE's?
I have Series E and Series I.
Right, and how old are they?
The Series E go back to 1991, and the Series I go back as far as 2001.
So the ones that go back,
when they drop to 2% fixed on the double I or on the I.
Yeah. So you want to hold those potentially all the way to 2031 on the I's.
Right. Well, so, some of them are only paying 1.39, 1.21 or 24%.
And right now, that's better than you can earn on anything else.
I'm getting 3% on checking.
You're getting 3% on checking by using your debit card 12 times a month?
Yep.
Yeah. So you can do that up to, depending on the financial institution, either a balance of $10,000 or $25,000?
$15,000. I have 4 of them.
Oh, good for you. So if you are really conscientious about that, you want to do that, you could, but then you're going to generate tax that's been deferred on those Series I's, and you have to work to get that higher interest rate.
Yeah, but it's not that hard.
If it's not that hard for you, that would be fine. Congratulations to you that you are that conscientious about handling the checking accounts, getting all those debit card transactions done so that you can earn a much higher than market rate of interest.
You know, there's something about TrueCar that a lot of people don't even know. Here it is. Using TrueCar can also help you buy a used car. That's right. In fact, there are over 500,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So whether you're looking to buy a brand new car or a used car, you can get all the upfront pricing information that empowers you. You can also get discounts off the list price for used cars and a totally better buying experience through the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. That's where you see what other people paid for the car that you want, so you know you're getting a fair price and you can feel confident. And with TrueCar, you connect with a local certified dealer of your choice, so you can enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. You can use the TrueCar website or the TrueCar app, so it's easy to find the new or used car that you want. You just take your guaranteed savings certificate to a TrueCar certified dealer, and you'll save money on that used car. And if you're buying new, the average TrueCar user saves $3,279 off MSRP. Over 2 million people have already bought their cars through the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. So if you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar.com or take it with you by downloading the TrueCar app and enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
I'm so glad you're with us on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to save more and spend less. And don't let anybody ever rip you off. You can follow me at facebook.com/Clark Howard, on the web, clark.com. Talk right now about exercise, something that I have an obsession with, but I also know my limits. My goal when I exercise, I actually have more than one goal. It's to clear my head, improves my mood, and improves my health. There's a tendency, though, that if someone's obsessive about exercise like I am, because I exercise virtually every day of my life, to overdo it, to keep pushing and pushing and pushing yourself. But the reality is, it's pretty clear from research done by medical professionals and new report from the Mayo Clinic that you do not want to exercise yourself into oblivion, Krista.
What?
You're a exercising fanatic.
No, I'm no more than you. I mean, I do exercise like probably 6 days a week, but I try to mix it up.
All right, so let's take somebody who's a jogger. How many miles should somebody jog in a week to get net positive benefit of exercise and good health without it curving to a point where it might start to harm you from running too many miles?
What do I think? 15.
Yes. It is so many less miles than I would have thought. Would you believe it's 6 miles per week?
Wow.
That sounds, you know, for people that run like you, well, I waddle, you run.
Stop.
That seems like nothing. But it turns out that when you are moderately exercising, there's enormous benefit with your blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, strokes, all different kinds of chronic diseases and potentially catastrophic ones like strokes, that by having a moderate level of exercise. It was something in the New York Times where a doctor in New Orleans was quoted as saying, the maximum benefits of running occur at quite low doses. That's got to be horrifying to you if you are a runner. 1 or 2 runs per week, 3 to 6 miles per week, get it done. Now, it may not do weight control. Weight control requires, weight control would require more distance, more time, more exercise. The strangest thing of all, though, is that if you run extreme lengths, you increase your chances of heart trouble, which I would not have known or expected. Now, I will give the rebuttal that Krista would give right now, and that is that, no, I got to give it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You will nod your head yes instead of left to right when I say this.
All right.
And that is that for every medical study and medical report and medical journal thing that says one thing very convincingly, there will be another as a rebuttal later that will say, forget about it. This is what you should be doing. It'll be the opposite of this.
However, my head yes.
Yes, you did nod yes. All right. You can see that on your radio dial. Anyway, so here's the point. A lot of people who maybe used to exercise or are reluctant to have in their mind that exercise must be this massive undertaking. And you build this mountain up in your mind that it's just too much to do. You're not going to do it because woe is me. I can't ever do that. It's hopeless. It's not like that. It is getting into the act of engagement with exercise, whatever it is, on an elliptical or whatever, treadmill.
Walking is great for you.
Walking, whatever it would be, that getting in the habit, even small amounts, the greatest impact is from the initial habit of building up exercise. You don't have to think about the person who lives their lives exercising. Think about what you need to do for yourself, which is to end your inactivity. Now, I want to tell something about myself I don't think I've mentioned, and that's about weightlifting. I was not able to, I've been a weightlifter a long time, and I didn't lift weights for a year and a half because I had had an injury to my hip and I couldn't lift weights. And even when the injury had healed, I was afraid to go back to weightlifting. And then I had the suggestion made that what I should do is cut my weight that I lift in half, which seems so wimpy to me, but double my reps. And it's working. I'm not putting myself in danger of getting hurt. And at the same time, I'm getting the strength back that I had lost through a year and a half of not lifting weights. So being active is what you got to be about. Well, you don't got to. It's your choice. But if you want to have a healthier life and potentially a longer life, and it saves you so much money because you're not spending all that time paying for overpriced parking at medical centers. That drives me crazy, all the parking fees at medical centers. Melanie's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, Clark. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Melanie. You have something you're trying to get more physically fit about, your credit cards.
That's right.
Tell me your story.
So I have a credit card currently at $14,591. It has been with me through college, marriage, and divorce, and I cannot seem to get rid of it. I have been paying pretty much just interest alone, as far as I can look back, probably about the last 3 years.
And you have already taken the first step to healing. Because what I heard from you, if I heard it right, you gave me the exact you owe down to the last dollar.
Correct.
You know why that's significant?
No.
When you talk to people that do credit counseling, they say that people will come in and they'll say, oh, yeah, I have credit card debt of approximately blah, blah, blah. And then the counselor will say, well, actually, I need for you to go get your statements or sign in online and let's see your actual balances. And then they are inevitably usually significantly more than what somebody just guessed they owed on credit cards. And the first step to getting this under control is to know exactly what you got to deal with. And you said it out and out, $14,591, I think you said?
Yes.
All right. So are you using the card or cards at all?
I try not to. I only do when I absolutely have to, which is actually very rare and for very minimum amounts.
Okay. I'm going to surprise you. I would say that the next step is you need to get that card out of your life. Like throw it in a freezer bag, if you ever heard me talk about that. You put water in the freezer bag with it, seal it, and throw it in the freezer compartment of your refrigerator freezer.
Okay.
So that it would have to be like an absolute beyond belief emergency that you would take the time to thaw it out and use it.
Okay.
Because the activity's got to stop before the balance can start responding to your payments.
Absolutely.
So tell me, if you don't mind, what other debts do you have in your life?
I actually just added everything up between mortgage, car note, and student loan still. It's about, we'll say, $2,300 a month in debt.
Well, you mean in terms of obligations?
Exactly.
All right. I'd like to step back from that for a second. What do you owe on student loans total?
I just looked at that today. Thankfully, down to $850, finally.
Fantastic. So you're making progress. It's just different piles you're making progress with.
Right.
So you're about to graduate from student loan debt. You said mortgage, car payment?
Yes.
How much longer do you have to pay on your car?
Unfortunately, just had to get the car. So I have 5 years on it till April of 2021 at $400 a month.
Well, that doesn't thrill me, because think about that $400 a month if it could go towards the credit card debt.
I know.
So what kind of income do you have?
About $45,000 a year before tax.
Okay, you got a lot of obligations that you got to deal with. I can see why making a dent in the 14.5 would be extremely difficult with your annual income. Have you at any point sat down with somebody from the National Foundation for Credit Counseling?
No, I haven't. I fear all of that stuff.
Don't fear it.
Okay.
It's going to free you. I'd like you to go sit down with somebody there. They'll have you fill out a long form where you lay out everything you... It's going to be easy for you because you've already added everything up. And then you sit down with somebody and let them help you try to come up with a plan. Doesn't have to be one they negotiate. They may feel they need to, or they may feel that they can come up with a budget for you that'll get you to where you can get this paid off in a realistic amount of time based on your income, would be to take that credit card debt to zero in 5 years.
Okay.
And I know that's not tomorrow, but as you go through paying on it, you'll feel the benefit. So I know you have to hear it many times and really process it before you'll make an appointment with NFCC. But I hope that you will go look at the website, nfcc.org.
Okay.
And process that. And having somebody who does this every day come up with a plan for you, I think would be very helpful to you. Because as I said, you owning up to it, knowing everything you owe, is the key first step to getting financially healthy. And I want to wish you the best with it. Douglas is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Douglas.
How you doing, sir? Good afternoon.
Great to have you here, author.
Yeah, hopefully.
You say hopefully. Have you written your book yet?
Yes, sir. I just completed the book, and my question is, I don't have the name recognition that you do, so I don't have publishers beating down my door to publish my book, but I've been looking at self-publishing companies, and what I found, of course, going through the Better Business Bureau to look at their ratings, but also just the online ratings, I've become a little hesitant now because there's so many bad reviews for each of the top 10 self-publishing companies. I just wanted to see what you thought about those reviews.
Well, it's interesting you asked that, because we've reduced how many we list on our self-publishing guide at Clark.com.
Okay.
Have you seen my guide to it?
No, sir, but I will hear shortly.
All right, so go look at it. And the first thing to do is ebook yours. That'll be free.
Right.
And what's really neat is you don't have to inventory your book anymore, other than if you want like four or five copies for yourself and family or something like that. If you ebook, you have the book now available in the marketplace, and you don't, the inventory is such a big expense. But at the same time now, with several of the publishers we have listed, you can have print on demand for somebody who wants a hard copy.
Right.
Because the printing technology has improved so much.
Okay.
So the hard part is having your marketing campaign. And the most successful people who do not have name recognition at getting people interested in buying either your ebook or a hard copy are people who become very good at social media.
Okay.
the business has changed so much. I don't. Do you spend any time on social media? Facebook.
Try not to. I'm a little older than. I'm already retired, so.
That gives you time to get up to speed on it, then.
Yes, sir. It does.
So go read my self-publishing guide.
Okay.
And you can have your book published for nothing tonight. Then you start coming up with your social media strategy for it. Because okay. the old stuff of getting on TV morning shows or midday shows or trying to get radio interviews and all that, it's just not where it's at now. It's you creating your own network of people who you get interested in the topic and you, and they're your best customers for what you've done. It's time for Ask Clark. That's where a question you posted for me is posed to me by Joel. Joel, who's your first Ask Clark from?
Clark got one from Joan. She says, is it wise to pay ahead for cremation services?
I don't think so. You know, who knows how many years, decades you have in front of you. And many times we end up later in life in a different place in the country or a different desire about what we'd like to have take place. So you're not creating a good situation. You are creating one that's inflexible, locks you in. I'd rather you wait till the need arises and then go ahead and make a selection. If you do so through one of the nonprofit funeral and memorial societies, usually you'll get a much better deal at the time the need arises. Check out funerals.org.
All right, Kevin wrote, and he says, my daughter has just bought her first place. She needs a good, all capital letters, good security system for her home that won't cost her an arm and a leg and give great service. What direction should we go in?
Look at SimpliSafe, SimpliSafe.com. SimpliSafe is a company that has grown and grown and grown and offers self-install, very thorough security systems. You know, electronics have become so much more sophisticated and the ability to install so much easier that now you can put in a system that will be very, very good in terms of thoroughly protecting her dwelling and will give her and you good peace of mind. No contracts for it. The monitoring is roughly $15 a month with SimpliSafe. Again, SimpliSafe.com.
All right, you have a great business, but your website, not so much. Let's change that. Introducing Wix ADI, Artificial Design Intelligence, that creates a stunning website for you. With all the things you need to look amazing online, images, videos, and professional text, giving you more time to focus on what really matters, your great business. Go to Wix.com. Create your stunning website today.
Stay tuned for 60 seconds of AP News headlines right after this podcast.
So glad you're with us on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to save more and spend less. And don't let anyone ever rip you off. On the web, we serve you at Clark.com. We have a question, Clark.com/ask. There's a story working the rounds in the ad agency community about Verizon Wireless. Verizon is treating the screens on phones you get from Verizon as their real estate and are now selling access per subscriber to any marketer that will pay Verizon, according to what's going on in the buzz in the ad agency community, $1 to $2 per subscriber per app that they force feed on your phone. It's what they call in the lingo of the trade bloatware, slows down your phone, causes it to be less efficient, takes up memory from your phone, makes your phone more subject to crashing. And Verizon can't seem to do anything right these days, in my book. They're charging much more money than other companies. They have these tight data caps. They still, in a business model where they hope to make money from selling you steadily more data, they finally are moving away from the shock, from what's known as bill shock, with the huge overages. But I'll tell you, bloatware is a pain. In fact, it's so much better to buy your own cell phone without bloatware and bring it to a network. Verizon historically has been very hostile to people bringing in their own phones. My middle brother is a Verizon customer, bought a cell phone independent of Verizon, and then was told that it couldn't be activated on their network. And he called me, he said, hey, you told me about this great phone deal, and now Verizon says I can't use it. So I went online and I found pretty quickly people with the same complaint, and then found from others, oh, this is what I did, and now I can use the phone on Verizon. So I don't know if Verizon's internal culture is they only want you buying phones from them, but that's not how things work around the world, Verizon. And you're charging more money by far than any other cell phone carrier. And then you turn around and you insult those customers. You're charging more money than anybody else. And you pop the bloatware on their phones. So hear me on this. If money matters to you, and the network of others works well where you are, stop hating your wallet and look at the alternatives to Verizon Wireless. If you do want to stay with Verizon, like my brother was nervous about trying another network, know that you do have a full legal right, as long as the phone is compatible, to buy it elsewhere. You know, the phones Amazon sells, several of the models of the Amazon Prime phones, work on Verizon. And there have been people who bought the phones from Amazon, like the Moto Gs, and then they were told by Verizon, no, this phone doesn't work on our network, which it does. Don't let them intimidate you. And let me tell you, you don't want their lousy bloatware or their very high prices on phones you'd get from them. Nico is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Nico.
How's it going, Clark?
Great, thank you. You're thinking of going solar.
I am highly considering it, yes.
Good for you. How can I be of service on that?
Yeah, so I kind of have like a multi-party question. Basically, I've been wanting to get solar for years. I just got my roof replaced, so it's kind of like perfect timing. The two companies I'm looking to work with are both local companies. I live in Flagstaff, Arizona, where it's quite sunny, but we have some snow half of the year, too. And so basically what I'm looking at is a $19,000 loan amount for a system that would entirely power my house and probably accrue me some net energy that I could sell back to the grid at the end of any year of every year. And basically what this loan company does is that the federal tax credit you get that is about 30% from the total loan amount, you apply that directly back to your loan as soon as you get it. So for me, that would be around $5,700. I would apply that back to the loan amount when I receive that tax credit.
So you're financing $13,300 approximately.
Approximately, exactly. And I'm planning on hopefully paying that off within 2 or 3 years so I can start just basically having just the solar cost and not the loan amount and not accruing interest on that. So I'm going to make a lot higher payments than what my monthly is.
What kind of interest rate are they offering on their loans?
So they're offering around 5 to 5.5% on their loan.
That's fantastic.
That's what I figured. I haven't nailed down everything yet, but I figured that's a really good number.
All right. Now, let me tell you what's not fantastic, okay?
Okay.
There's some ugliness going on in state government in Arizona.
Right.
Trying to fix the system so that it will make it uneconomic for you to have solar panels. So you have to plan for the potential risk that you would put the panels on your roof, and then after the politicians finish what they're going to do, make it so that you get burned by the power company for having put in the solar.
Okay. I do know that, so that the local power company that I have, I do know they have an agreement with the solar company that I'm still connected to the grid. So that in times of winter, when I obviously need to use, regular grid power because there's not a lot of sunlight out, I can do that. Do you think that would affect any of that legislation at all?
No, so the issue comes up how they reimburse you during the summer when you're generating likely a lot more power than you can use.
Right.
one of the fights in Arizona has been about how you'd be compensated on that. Plus, the other thing is a junk fee that you're charged each month for having become a solar power provider.
Huh, interesting. Okay, I'll have to ask.
So the company selling solar, they know all about it, but they're not exactly rushing out to talk about that. I just want you to know, I have solar at my house. I love having solar.
Awesome.
But I just want you to be prepared, eyes wide open, that they might really try to mess with your wallet. Not the solar companies you're talking to, but the state in concert with the power companies.
Gotcha. It makes sense.
Okay. And so if you did some digging on, you go do some Google searches and read some of the news stories about what's been going on in the fight over solar in Arizona. And because this happened next door in Nevada,
right.
And they changed the law in the middle of the game in Nevada, and people who had put in solar suddenly ended up having to pay much more than people who didn't have solar,
right?
To try to punish anybody from putting in solar.
Gotcha. And the interesting thing is, to build off of that, essentially what I'm planning on doing is actually investing in an electric car. I'm going to buy a Nissan Leaf here, like right when the solar panels get installed, and basically fully power that Leaf. A Leaf through home charging, which, you know, I've heard that electric cars usually run your bills $30 to $40 extra on electricity a month if you're just plugged into the grid. But I figure, you know, like yourself, since you have solar, you're basically funding a car on fully, sustainable energy, which is,
Well, that's fantastic. You know, if you can charge your Leaf during the peak of sun, then you don't have to worry so much about the power company ripping you off on your excess power. Because you're using it to charge your car.
That's awesome. And that might be a way around the legislation funniness that is going on in the state right now.
And how does it feel that all the people from Phoenix have now left for the season?
It feels phenomenal. If you know the town well, then you know it gets really packed when all the Phoenicians come up. But now it's absolutely beautiful and quiet and back to just the locals only when ski season starts. So it's great. Oh,
see, I know about this because one of my brothers lived in Arizona for 40 years, and they used to come to Flag during the summer to escape the heat in Phoenix. So, yeah, I'm pretty familiar.
Yeah, Flag is a hidden gem. Not a lot of people know about it, but I feel like it's definitely growing in the past 10 years. It's grown a lot.
Well, I hope I didn't do anything to throw cold water on you going solar, because going solar is a great thing. I just want you to know all the dollars and cents could get played with by stuff the state would do, and that's got to be part of your consideration. David's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, David.
Hey, Clark.
David, you're thinking of buying a new home from a company that, when you look online, people hate their guts.
Well, that's what it seems like. And, we're considering buying a home from a large national home builder, and the online reviews aren't so good, and that concerns me.
Yeah.
But then again, I looked at some of the online reviews for other large builders, and theirs aren't any better. So I'm wondering, perhaps it's only the people that are dissatisfied are leaving the reviews?
Well, it's a great question you ask, and it has long been an issue in home building, is that it's very rare that somebody says, I love my builder. I love them. I mean, I can't wait to have them build me another home someday. You know, you just don't hear that because it's a tough business. But I'll tell you this, my bias has always been to buy used homes instead of buying a new home.
Really? Because we're considering both.
And the reason I'm a big fan of used homes is when you buy that new home, it is an unknown. You don't know if they're going to meet their construction schedule, if it's going to have the quality of construction that you saw in the model home, if you're going to get something very different than what you had anticipated. And then there you are. What are you going to do if the workmanship is poor or whatever? Because I'm sure a lot of the complaints you see are about workmanship and warranty.
Correct.
Right. So when you buy a used home, it's already found its real true market value, likely. Where when you buy in a new home development from a big national builder, where they're building a huge number of homes in a development, they're guessing what that home should be priced. You buy in there and then you need to sell a few years down the road. If they guessed wrong and they priced them too high, you bought too high, then you end up losing money when you go to sell. But the other thing is a used home, you almost always get more square footage per dollar. Or the square footage you get, you buy at a cheaper price per dollar, however which way you want to do the math.
Sure. I hadn't even thought about that. So that's really good advice.
So if you're going in, you go in and you've done something. First thing, I give you credit. Do you know what percent of people buying a new home do what you did and go look the reputation of a national builder?
I have no idea.
Nobody. Nobody. People get so entranced by the website and the colorful brochures and looking at the neighborhood and all that, and you're just like, you know, it's full rose-colored glasses. So looking at what you looked at and seeing some of the unhappiness people have had, or with your builder that you're considering, a lot of unhappiness, it makes you step back and look at the whole picture. You know the neat thing about a used home, David? It's there. It's done. You don't have to worry about delays. You have an inspector. You find out how good or bad the construction is, and you get more square footage for your money.
Well, that sounds good to me.
So just think about that as an alternative.
We will. Okay. That's very good advice. I appreciate that.
All right. I hope you get a great home, new or used.
Okay. Thanks, Clark.
Thanks. Michael is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Michael.
How you doing, Clark?
Great. Thank you. Michael, what's going on in your world?
Well, I am very proud to say that yesterday I made the last payment on my student loan. My wife and I have been putting about an extra $1,100 a month towards that, and finally got that paid off as of yesterday. And
well, I think that calls for a celebration.
Yes, my wife and I broke out the Aldi brand wine last night.
Great.
So what we're looking for is advice to see if we're in a good position to start, if we're putting enough towards our retirement now that maybe we can start using a little bit more now for family vacations and such.
Well, certainly you freed up $1,100 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You need to treat yourselves. So if you were to take like the first 2 months after you paid these off, take $1,100 twice, take $2,200, go do something fun.
Definitely.
Go reward yourself. You worked hard to pay off that debt. You got rid of it. And, you know, this is something I talk about, that getting rid of debt is not supposed to be just drudgery followed by more drudgery. There needs to be a reward, a privilege that comes at the end. It's privilege time. So, yeah, you want to take a vacation? You go on a vacation.
Wonderful. And I guess the follow-up with that, I feel we're putting a decent amount away. Both my wife and I, we have government pensions. We're going to have government pensions. I'm 34. She's 33. And so we'll have, you know, a little over 30 years in doing that.
Are you federal employees or state or local?
Federal, yeah.
So you have access to the TSP.
Yes.
And there's a match on the TSP. I don't know how much match there is.
We get 5% match.
So if you're not doing that yet, that's something both of you should be doing in addition to accruing your years for the federal pension.
Oh, I'm on that. I've been doing that. I've been with the government now for 10 years, so I've been getting that match plus a little extra.
Fantastic.
And with your advice last year, I started doing Roth IRAs for both of us. And we've been maxing out two Roth IRAs, and plus each of us are putting 5% with 5% match. All in all, I think it's about 22% of our income gross. And so, again, that's where I was looking to see.
The two of you are on easy street, Michael. You stay on these paths you're on. You're in great shape. So where are you on the debt side? You paid off your student loans, obviously. What other debts do you and your wife have?
We have two car loans. We were looking to have those paid off in the next year.
Great.
And then we just refinanced our mortgage at 2.25% for a 15-year.
So I would say that you're in a position now that you just keep doing what you're doing, maybe put more money in a rainy day account, because I didn't hear you mention you have a rainy day account.
We have about $20,000 in some CDs earning 3% right now.
Man, wow. I think you're ready to just take my job. you two
that.
Got it going on. Let me tell you, this is great.
I mean, and I've picked up all this just listening to you, Clark.
No, I mean, don't give me credit. You, I may have given you some suggestions, but you and your wife have made this happen. Know that you've done so much so well that money that you have that sounds like you still are going to have some surplus, use it to enjoy yourselves today.
Okay.
Because you've taken care of tomorrow. You couldn't take care of tomorrow any better than you already have. Just treat yourself some. You deserve it. You earned it.
Thanks for listening to the Clark Howard Podcast. Download new episodes every Monday through Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.